In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brothers and sisters, blessed feast to all of you. On this beautiful day, the church has turned to blue. Out of this Lenten time, which has been a time of mourning over our sins, a joyful mourning, getting ready for the resurrection of our God. And we're given this beautiful feast every March 25th, the Annunciation of the Most Holy Theotokos. And I borrow heavily today from the Holy Fathers and the homilies of other priests. Nothing I say is original. It's not Father Justin, the great idea. This is the church, the living, breathing life of the church. And I just stand on the shoulders of giants, of holy saints and holy priests, and just tell you what they say so you're rooted on Christ. The service says, O pure maid, you eluded nature's laws, conceiving God in ways beyond we can understand. You evaded things proper to mothers in childbirth, even if by nature you were like us. Father Paul said last night that Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, was like us, same nature. She wasn't programmed to be different than us, which makes her life in this day so important. Every year on this feast, we're amazed. We should be amazed at how profound the mystery that happens in this feast. And yet it's a very simple story. It's a very short story in the gospel of what happened. But the fathers also say that most blessed things in life are equally simple, the fathers say. The storyline is really a matter of fact. It's very straight. A young virgin receives an angel. And by the way, the fathers say she had seen many angels, by the way, in her time in the temple and her holiness. And he asks her to do a task, and she says, I'll do it. Will you do this insane thing? Let it be done unto me according to God's will. End of the story. It's very short. And yet, this very humble and seemingly natural acceptance by the Virgin Mary, what happens? Our salvation became possible, the fathers say, because of the short little interaction, but essential interaction. The fathers, the simple became complex. And the complex, the living God, became simple. Very beautiful. But we shouldn't be fooled by the shortness or how quick this is of this moment. Beyond the simple interaction, the beautiful words we hear in the Akathist service, we hear an exchange between the Holy Virgin and the Archangel Gabriel, this beautiful heavenly conversation they have. Behind it, right, the greatest mystery is revealed, right? The moment that the living God was incarnate in her womb, not by a man, but by the Holy Spirit. God always existed. There was never a time Christ didn't exist. He was always one with the Father and the Spirit. But at this moment, at the exact time, after thousands of years of waiting for a holy enough vessel, a person who would choose by her own free will to love God and love purity, God could have programmed someone else a lot earlier, but he waited for someone to freely live a holy life, even in this broken world. And he could be conceived in her immaculate body. It's unthinkable. The God who made heaven and earth and the planets and the stars is so humble to be contained in the womb of a young woman. We often wonder, how does this happen? It's simply, the icon above. Here, the circular icon, you see the Virgin Mary with outstretched hands, and you see Christ, and you see around him what? Stars. And the icon in Greek is called the Platitera. Platitera tu oranu. It means she who is more spacious than the heavens. So he who made heaven and earth, and the seas and the moon, the star, everything, who has never had a beginning, who has always been, somehow the whole universe is contained in her womb. And you see that in the icon. And you think to yourself, how did this happen? Our rational mind says, I want to understand this. How was he was begotten from the Father, Christ, before all ages. How did he come to be conceived and contained in this womb of this young girl who's so pure, never even known a man? How is this possible? And the Holy Panagia, she asked the same question, right, in the gospel you just heard. How can this be? When the angel said, you're going to be with child, her first question is, she's not doubting. Like Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, who was mute because he doubted. She's not doubting, she's just honest. How can this be, since I didn't know a man? I'm pure. I'm not married. And the answer she gets, the fathers say, shows that not even the angel himself knew the depth of this mystery. What was to happen? He was just a messenger. Angelos in Greek, an angel means a messenger. And what does he say? The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. That's how it's going to happen. And what is it? He says more. He gives more proof to give her consolation so she's not scared. It's so beautiful. He mentions who? Her cousin, Elizabeth. And that it's now the sixth month since she conceived. This old barren woman. Now she conceived in the normal way. She was married to Zechariah. The miracle there was what? That in their old age they conceived. That's a very different miracle. Right? That's a very, very different miracle. This is without man. And the very essence of the whole dialogue is the end. How is this possible? One way. For with God, nothing is impossible. He didn't break down the science of the miracle. He just simply asserted, for with God, nothing is impossible. In other words, it's God's work. He'll make it happen. And he always has, since the book of Genesis until the end of time. God is working. In the church, how do we receive grace? We talked about this in the catechism class. The mysteries. We call the sacraments in the church, a better word is a mystery. The mystery of baptism. The mystery of receiving the Holy Spirit. The mystery of Holy Communion. The mystery of repentance and confession. Sacraments are more of a Latin word. We enter, encounter a mystery. How does it work that water renews a person to life eternal? How does bread and wine become the body and blood of God, His own life? How do we bless oil in the mystery of holy unction and it heals people from terrible diseases? Because God made it that way. The mysteries of the church are given in the hospital of the church. They're the means by which grace is communicated to us. We're physical beings, and so grace is given to us in physical ways. Very, very beautiful. But here's the thing the fathers say. How many of us are happy with mysterious answers like this? How many of us would have been pleased by that answer? Most of us, one priest said, we would need proof. Hey, how do I know you're an angel? Show me some ID. You know, how do I know who you are? Right? We're always doubting, skeptical, all the time. You know, I haven't been with a man. We're going to do a DNA test here, right? I mean, he jokes and says, we're so quick to break down things and to make this pea brain the center of all things and the judge of all things. What does it mean that God overshadows? What is this? What is that? But the more questions one asks, the fathers say, the farther one can get from the only important essence. It's a mystery, and God can do it and always does it if we're faithful. Very beautiful. It's not important how. It's a mystery. We're made to penetrate into it, but to encounter the mystery and to enter and live the mystery. What's important is that it happens, and even more, at the moment of this, when the angel says, rejoice, or hail, O full of grace, the Lord is with thee. At this angelic salutation, what happened? Our salvation began. You heard the hymn today from the choir. Today is the beginning of our salvation. This feast, Orthodox Christians, we don't say we were saved on the cross, or was it in the Garden of Gethsemane, in the prayer, or was it in the resurrection? Where are we saved? All those places. All those places. All those parts were essential. Without the Panagia, none of that would have been possible. None of the crucifixion, resurrection, the Father said. You see how important she is? With her humility and saying yes to God, she began. Today is the beginning of our salvation. A mystery, an ancient mystery. By the way, this is foretold to happen this way. This age-old mystery is revealed today, on this beautiful day. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man, as has been prophesied. If the fathers say that partaking of what is lower, He may impart to us what is higher. Of old, Adam was deceived, and he did not become God. though this was his desire. But now in this feast, God becomes man to make Adam God by adoption. We're starting to understand the seriousness, the Father said, the awesomeness in the true sense of the word awesome, awe-inspiring, of this simple encounter in Judea of a 14-year-old girl, simple, with an angel. And yet it has a huge impact on the entire state of the world and our souls too. A simple yes. And what happened? A simple, humble, yes, I will do this. May it be according to God's will. And in one word like that, what happened? The pride and the disobedience of Eve in the garden is replaced by the beautiful obedience of the Holy Virgin Mary, the fathers say. A simple yes, and the living God, the Son of the Most High God, is one of us. He's enfleshed. A simple yes, and Adam of old is replaced by the new Adam in her womb, Christ, the new Adam. A simple yes, and the ages-old plan for the salvation of mankind is accomplished. This didn't happen at random. It's easy to think, like, oh, he just kind of picked someone or programmed someone. No. We know that the Virgin Mary is called many things in the church, right? We know that in the Old Testament there were many prefigurings of her. For instance, if you come up the stairs of the church, on the right-hand landing, you see an icon of Moses, right? And taking his shoes up in the burning bush. And who's in the middle of that burning bush? The Virgin Mary. The bush burned but was not consumed. How could her womb not be? How could she not die? No man could see God and live, the scriptures say, and she contained the living God in her womb, like the burning bush, burning but not consumed and burned up. A foretaste. The fathers say throughout the centuries, in the book of Genesis, Jacob's ladder. When Jacob saw the ladder that prefigured you, he said, there is none other than the house of God. So Jacob's ladder, she's the perfect ladder between heaven and earth. Or the bush. The bush and the fire revealed to Moses a strange sign. Seeking its fulfillment in the course of time, he uttered, we shall see it in a pure damsel, the Virgin Mary. Also, we know in the scriptures, you are called by Daniel, the spiritual mountain, and the mother of God by Isaiah. Gideon perceives you as that fleece in the book of Judges, and by David, you are called a holy place, and by Ezekiel, you are called the gate. So many places in the Old Testament foreshadow this was to come. The Theotokos, this holy virgin who is dear to us, she's the fulfillment of all the law, all the prophets. The people of Israel were waiting for the Father to say, this precious flower to bring us paradise, to bloom for us. So the sweet fragrance of paradise, the sweet fragrance of salvation could be spread to all the earth and to us and to the end of time. The Holy Virgin is the link between the created and the uncreated world. She's the tongs. You know, in the book of Isaiah, there was tongs that held the hot charcoal that were touched the lips of the prophet Isaiah, taking away his sins, it says. And she's those tongs. She's not the coal, but she held the fiery coal without being burned. That coal that takes away the sins of the world, the living God. She is the one that brings God into the world. So me, sinful priest Justin, you, we can partake of him. Have our sins forgiven by the one who's without sin. In her motherly love, let's be honest, the love of a mother is different than the love of a father. I noticed in the monastery this past week, I spent time with my spiritual father, who's a man, and I spent time with our spiritual mother, so to speak, who's a woman. And even the way his holy abbess consoled me, was different. There's a mother's touch. And I realized all the more, having lost my mother, that special touch. And the fathers say, we have this from the mother of God. Right? We have this in our mother. Whether we had a mother, or she was abusive, or she's passed away, we all are given this holy mother. And revealed how much God loves us. So much that he would give us the Mother of God, the church, all the healing sacraments, all these saints that are praying for us, the thousands of saints that are praying for us every moment, all the tools to be healed, of all of our physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual illnesses, it all became possible because of one yes of this young virgin 2,000 years ago. The fathers say, how are we going to answer the same question? As Father Paul said last night beautifully, Christ wants to be born in each of us, not in our womb, but in our hearts. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And the same humility of the Virgin Mary is required. When the Lord says something crazy to you, you're going to be a Christian now. You're not going to do that sin. Are we going to answer like her? May it be blessed, Lord, according to your will. When you're called to fast, are we going to kick against the pricks and complain? We're going to say, may it be blessed, Lord. And every way we honor her and we imitate her, the degree to which the Lord is born in us. A person is born again, the fathers say. And I love that image of the flower. She's a flower that blossomed forth Christ for the salvation of the world. We're all struggling. It's a terrible battle in this world. There's a lot of pain, there's a lot of suffering. It needn't be crushing to us. The Lord says, in the world you'll have tribulation. So don't be surprised. Like, you don't join the church and become a Christian, Orthodox Christian, and have no problems. People think that, fake idea. That's not what God promised. He promised, in the world you're going to have tribulation, pain, crosses. They might kill you for your sin, for your faith in Jesus Christ. It's happening to many people. It will happen forever. But the Lord says, he doesn't promise a perfect life. That's a lie of Protestantism. A lie of this world. He promises joy. In spite of all the suffering, he promises a kingdom that has no end. But we're often just so distracted. We're so distracted. And the Mother of God, let's be honest. For how many of us, brothers and sisters here, is she like a dear companion to us? For how many of us is she just an idea? Or it's a nice idea, the Virgin Mary? How many of us have no relationship with Christ? He's everything. We bring everything to him. Every moment, everything. But we don't. We're distracted. We throw him a little bone in the morning if we're lucky. And then a little bit at night. Maybe we remember to do our cross if we're not too ashamed to thank God for our food. We spend most of our life in a fog. Me too. And it breaks my heart. Because that's the reason why we're depressed. And why we're not fulfilled. And why we're seeking utopia in this world. Because when the kingdom of God opens to you, you want to bring everything to Christ. When you realize how consoling it is to have a relationship with the Holy Virgin, it changes you. When I was a catechumen myself, I was a Russian priest, I was a kind of Protestant, I said, I don't understand how to pray to the Virgin Mary. He was just like, shut up. And he just pushed this book in my chest. It was a book of prayers to the Virgin Mary. He said, you don't get to know her or know Christ or know paradise by thinking about it with your pea brain. You get to know the living God and the Holy Virgin and the saints by spending time with them. And it changed my life. Reading those beautiful prayers, my heart was melted. I saw that she's always present with us. We should live a life such that whenever we even hear the... I know many monks and nuns and lay people, whenever they hear the word Panagia, which means the All Holy One, or Holy Virgin, or Maria, they start to weep. Why? Because they know her power. And they know the love she gives us. It all comes from Christ. We kiss an icon of the saints. We're honoring Christ in them. We're honoring Christ in her. You can go to work and have Christ with you all the time. The Mother of God with you. But we don't. You can go to school and be with God all the time. No one's saying you have to go off and live in a closet or a cave. Even the monks and nuns don't. I was there all last week. They're active. They're present. They're with you. But you can walk and chew gum at the same time, so to speak. We're so distracted. That's one of the greatest sins. The greatest sin is we forget about God. We forget about the Mother of God. And we go, oh, I'm depressed. I'm so sad. I'm so hurt. I wish it could change. It can change. We have to wake up from our sleep. Wake up from our lethargy. Take our eyes off the dirt and lift up our eyes to paradise. The church is paradise. The church, if we live in it, is paradise. It's a foretaste. I'm in a fog sometimes too, brothers and sisters. God forgive me as a priest. It breaks my heart. But it inspires me to change. Don't do your prayers. Don't honor the Mother of God because you're a robot and you're an Orthodox Christian, so you should do that. Who's inspired by that? Don't do it because you're afraid of going to hell. That's a little more inspiring. Fear does motivate us. But imagine having a wife husbands, or a woman having a husband who loves you so much and he's dedicated to you, and all he wants to do is spend time with you, and you turn from him or her. Or your kids, hey, Pa, want to come play ball? I don't have time for you. That breaks your heart, as it should, and it would motivate you to love, and you would change it, hopefully. This is a million times more important, this relationship, because it endures in this life and in paradise and forever. And guess what? It's the ticket to true joy. So may God help us in this feast. The saints are here, brothers and sisters. We forget that. The kingdom of this whole church right now is full of you, the church fighting, the church militant, and it's full of the church triumphant. The Mother of God is present with us. We say in the liturgy, Christ is in our midst, which means He's here, He's among us. We don't believe it. We live like pagans. Let's stop it. How do we do it? By believing. By praying. How do you get to know someone? You spend time with them. But it's hard because we're busy. Phones, TV, everything. Make time to be with Christ. Make time to be alone with the Mother of God. Read prayers to her. May she become a constant companion for all of us. We can be in paradise at the desk at work. We can be at paradise as a garbage man. You can be at paradise even in the hell of high school. You can be in paradise with Christ, with the Mother of God all the time. And guess what? If you know and you feel that Christ is with you, you feel your prayers. You feel the Mother of God and the saints and St. Felicissimus, St. Demetrius, St. Constant Helen. How can you be alone? We're never alone. We're never without love. It's when we forget about the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters. We forget about the love of God and the Mother of God that we're broken. How can any of us make it? So may God help us through the incredible protection of the Mother of God in this feast, as she was born, as He was incarnate in her womb. May the living God take up His residence in your heart. May we allow Him. He comes softly. He doesn't kick the door down to your heart. He knocks. The Lord knocks, and we open it with repentance, prayer, and fasting. My prayer for myself, above all, and I'm always talking to myself, my prayer for each of you is that the kingdom of God becomes real. Christ becomes our real companion, and the Mother of God especially becomes a constant source of consolation, joy, and taste of paradise in every moment of our lives. If God is with us, nothing can be against us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. No pain, no suffering, no bad job, no bad boss, no cancer, and not even death. Because Christ has swallowed up death. That's what we're getting ready for at Pascha. Christ is risen. Death is swallowed. How dare we continue to let it reign in us? How dare we not raise our eyes to the greatest joy? May God help us to have this living, breathing relationship with the kingdom of God. And the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed feast.